fucking love. If you were a dude who had a PC in the 90s,
yeah, right.
You fucking sucked their cock. All these fucking assholes were walking around going like, oh yeah, Goldeneye. Dude, I got fucking Quake Rocket Arena. We're playing this shit on the fucking internet.
Not need to remind each and every citizen of Rapture that free enterprise is the foundation upon which our society has been established.
Everywhere you go, everything you do, it's always done for death, pain, and misery.
Our men are running from the battlefield. A shame for this place!
A what? Raven's on there?
Hey, Raven.
Hey, Raven.
Oh, Hoss, what's going on?
Not much, man.
Yeah, yeah.
What's up?
Nothing. We had a good podcast last week.
Yeah, it was a great one.
Yeah. Too bad it didn't get recorded, so.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it did get recorded. Too bad it didn't get saved. Corrupted. Corrupted save file. But you know what? It's okay. You know why? You know why?
No, no.
Because it's time for the Minute of Struck podcast. That's right.
All
right. Heading into it. Yep. So, it's a new podcast today. We had a filler last week. Talking about Green Lantern. Green Lantern. And,
yeah, we should do another couple of those. I don't know what anybody thinks of those, but...
yeah.
Learning about superheroes is always something that... It's like equal parts fascinating and infuriating.
It really is. Like reading about superheroes is equal parts fascinating and infuriating.
Reading comic books in general.
Reading comic books in general is pretty much that whole experience.
Unless you're talking about Bane Man.
Bane Man. Yeah, that's not a frustrating part at all. As we all know, Bane Man is a staple in
height the form.
Height the form. Oh, man. But no, last week we talked quite extensively about Massive Chalice, which is a game that one of your top games of the year.
It's my favorite game of the year so far.
Yeah, favorite game of the year so far.
Yeah, I absolutely love that game. It's, you know, it's still currently free right now. Xbox is, they do this thing where, like, it was the free game of June.
Right.
And now it's July, and Assassin's Creed Black Flag's the free game.
Okay.
But the previous month's game still trails.
Okay, yeah.
So it's free as well.
Well, that's
awesome. So if you haven't picked it up on Xbox One, it's still available. If you want it on Steam, I believe it's $19.99.
Yeah.
But it's the PC, so there's always, like, Green Man Gaming and shit where you can get it for less than that, so... Sure. I definitely recommend checking that out. If if you're into XCOM style strategy games, Fire Emblem, anything like that, it's absolutely fucking fantastic. We have a video of that going up this week.
We do. Video that is going up this week. Possibly Thursday, I would say. It's going up Thursday.
We recorded an extensive video of that where I was actually at a point in the game where I was kind of between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
And I was unsure if we were going to have to create a new game or what. But I managed to weasel my way through that fight and then through several more.
Yeah.
We ended up getting about 20 years of game time. That game takes place over the course of 300 years. Yeah. And you have to start your empire, found it, and survive.
Yep.
So you're constantly, you know, bringing in new people, getting them married, people that are chalice attuned, people who can speak to the chalice.
People who are force aware, as it were.
Yeah. Check force their, adjacent.
Yeah. Check their midichlorian counts, all that jazz.
Yeah, you know, all the best stuff. Star Wars stuff.
All the best parts about Star Wars. But yeah, no, I think that game is absolutely fantastic. It's really cool. I'm definitely buying it. I might wait till it goes on sale, but I'm probably just going to buy it full price on Steam. And play it from there.
They already did the summer sale, but, you know, there's they usually do a sale around Labor Day. They usually do a sale around Halloween.
Yeah.
Those are not as big, but, you know, even if you just wait until Christmas, which is, believe it or not, man, not that fucking far away.
It's not. I know. It's ridiculous.
Kind of depressing me right now.
It's kind of insane how quickly this whole year has gone by. We're in the middle of July. of 2015.
I've spent the whole year on a diet, so I'm just waiting until midnight so that, like, my carb and calorie counters can click back over so right. that I can eat some more food.
Right.
So, yeah, like, it's been a weird year so far.
Yeah.
There's been some big tentpole stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've had your big box $60 releases, sure. You know, Mortal Kombat. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a big heavy hitter that came out this year already. You got The Witcher, you got Batman. So we've already had quite a few big games this year, but there's been a lot of really, really good smaller stuff.
Yes.
Which, you know, I think will definitely, you know, matter for me anyway come the end of the year. So,
yeah.
This is kind of tangentially related. But I've decided to make my game of the year stuff a lot easier for me this year.
Yeah.
And I've done that by every time I play a game and I go, oh, that was meaningful to me. I just put it on a list.
Oh, nice.
So I've already got a working list. They're not in any kind of order and it's already like 20 games.
Awesome.
But so whenever I go to make my top 10 list at the end of the year,
right.
And I've actually thought that we might want to do category awards this year.
Yeah, that'd be all right.
You know, one thing that we could do is, maybe get a few people together. And kind of, you know, do our own personal top 10 lists.
I would love to do that.
And then hash out some, maybe platform awards or genre awards. Yes. I don't necessarily know yet. You know, like categories like hottest banger.
Like, what's the hottest banger here?
Yeah, like, you know, fuck game of the year and shit like that. I want a hottest banger award.
Hottest banger award.
but yeah, so we,
it's like the X title. You don't really know what it's about, but you get that it's about something awesome.
Yeah, we need to, you know, start thinking about this stuff now so that it doesn't Absolutely. Come like the third week of December and we're like, ah!
Oh, God! We need a finale.
But yeah, I have decided that I am close to the end of Massive Chalice. Even though we're well past that game's debut, I have decided that I am going to write a formal review for that. So I guess that means that I probably need to build a formal review structure rubric for us to use and decide what our grading scale is going to be. I'm leaning towards like 5 stars.
Right. 5 stars is always good, you know.
No half stars.
Yeah, just one through five, no halvesies.
Nobody says a movie is 3.5 stars. It's a fucking 4-star movie.
Yeah, it's a 4-star movie. It's true. It's a review is simply supposed to be a fast... Or, you know, a star rating or a rating for a game is supposed to be a fast interpretation of the review. If they want to get in depth, read the full review. But if you want a quick look at something, you look at the 5, well, you look at the 9.
And when you go to Amazon and you buy something and you want to review it, it's 1 to 5.
It's 1 to 5. That's it. Yeah.
It's just simple. I mean, at this point, I think that like enough people buy enough stuff off of Amazon that's like... I kind of feel like that's the default review scale at this point. You know, some big websites have gone to that kind of style. Like, you know, one of the things I really liked when I did some freelance work was when 1UP went to the grade scale.
Right.
A to F. I didn't like the fact that they had pluses and minuses. Like, what the fuck's the difference between A minus and a B plus?
Exactly. There's not, like, what? Like, the character talked too long in one scene? Like,
yeah,
you know, there's not much to that.
So, you know, I don't know. Like, we'll kind of come up with something. We'll probably need to come up with some graphics for that, too.
Absolutely. I love coming up with graphics. You know me.
Yeah. Well, I know that we've been forcing you to come up with a lot of graphics.
Yeah, I know, yeah. But that's been me, too. So.
You're kind of one guy, so maybe some of this we can kind of call in some troops on.
Maybe.
But yeah, so I guess that's kind of a good look at Massive Chalice. It's the best game of the year so far.
It is. Yeah.
Period.
It's as
fuck Batman.
It's
fuck Witcher. Fuck Mortal Kombat. As much as I fucking love Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat's awesome.
Massive Chalice.
I've been enjoying Batman as well, but yeah, I just like...
Are you and Eric still playing through that?
I'm kind of playing through it on my own at the moment, but...
How?
Through Steam. Which...
Do you have a PC capable of playing it?
What's that? Yeah, my PC can play it, yeah.
That one?
No, not that one, no. The one I have in my house. Oh. I mean, you know, it's sluggish and kind of, you know, broken, but whatever.
Well, I heard that port's like that anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't really tell the difference.
That port is pretty hideous, but...
That's cool.
Yeah, but, yeah, you know, it's fine. Like, that game is totally fine. It whatever. The Batmobile stuff I don't give a shit about, especially since you... Here's the thing. Let's go into what you've been playing. I've been playing that. I don't understand the point of the Batmobile when you've improved the glide. Like, seriously, like, the glide...
The grapple boosting is awesome.
The grapple boosting and the glide is so much more improved in this game. It is so easy to get to where you need to go. And much more fun than driving somewhere. The cool things about the Batmobile, it's nice that you can instantly jump into it with, you know, it's very fluid. You hit the button, you get into it, it's fine. But yeah, those tank segments are god-awful. Like, they're just not fun.
Yeah.
They're not. They're a
slog. Any part where I have to pull something off a wall, fuck that.
Yeah, the
winch
just,
stuff. It takes a while, and yeah, like, whatever. Like, yeah. I don't want to shit on that game too much.
Yeah.
I will totally go back and play that game at some point, but it is definitely not the experience that I want right now.
Right.
You know, I've talked about this ad nauseum on this podcast, but, you know, I don't feel like playing games during the summer very much.
Yeah.
And the stuff that I have played has been kind of bite-sized or on my 3DS.
Right. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Well, I have been playing Forza 5 again.
Yes.
You have I got the shakes.
Yeah. You got the shakes and you had to get some Forza in.
So, that kind of leads me into... Is that all you've been playing this week?
Yeah, that's all I've been playing it.
I had two customer service experiences this week.
Oh, yes. That's right. You need to talk about these customer service experiences.
Right. I had a problem with my Xbox One.
Okay.
Since
I haven't heard about this one. The other one, I haven't heard about.
The other one, I kind of clued in on a little bit. the Xbox One last fall, like 2 weeks before Destiny, my disk drive fucked up.
Okay.
So I had to send the system back to Microsoft. Since that time, I got it back. I re-downloaded all my games. Well, a lot of these older games. Like Rise, Son of Rome, Dead Rising, Forza. I hadn't played them again.
Right.
Because right around the time I got the thing back, that's when Forza Horizon 2 came out, and I kind of just played that for a while.
Jumped onto that.
And didn't play Forza 5 anymore.
Sure.
Well, I kind of, after the racetrack this weekend, I spent the whole weekend at Kentucky Speedway.
Right.
I kind of got the urge to do some simulation driving.
Sure.
Which is the Forza 5 model as opposed to the Horizon games is a much more accurate representation of driving as opposed to a kind of free-flowing sort of arcadey kind of affair.
Sure, sure.
So I wanted something that was real. So I go to download my save. Doesn't work.
Hmm.
Keep saying, like, we couldn't sync your, console with the cloud save at this time. Do you want to play it offline or whatever? Well, I've played a lot of that game.
Yeah.
I have nearly every car in the game.
Right.
I have, like, $30 million.
Yeah.
We've done it.
It's like
I've completed almost every series. I have like 3 series left to go for me to complete everything there is in that game.
Sure.
So if I play offline, I'm starting again.
Yeah.
And the problem is, if you start again and later on it does try to sync your save, it will sync the new save to the cloud. So the old one's gone forever.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's kind of the issue with cloud saves is that like you... The saves do still live on your system,
right.
But it syncs back and forth, so there's 2 copies of it everywhere.
Okay, yeah.
But in that situation, if you supersede what's in the cloud, it will sync that there. Mm. So I ended up having to call Microsoft. I couldn't get Dead Rising to pull my save down. I couldn't get Forza to pull my save down. I haven't tried Rise, but I'm probably never going to play Rise again.
Right.
I don't even know why I re-fucking downloaded that game. It was a fine launch game, but come on, we're like almost 3 years after launch. We've moved on.
We've moved on.
But yeah, well, almost third Christmas, 2 years. Whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
So I call Microsoft, I'm talking to this guy, and I've been fucking with this thing for weeks trying to get these saves to pull down.
Right.
And the guy's like, man, I think it's your ISP.
Yeah.
I said, everything else works.
Yeah.
I had tried even Xbox Live support through Twitter. I've been talking to them for a couple of weeks.
Right.
And just, we'll try this. Nothing was working. And I think it is, since we've had so much rain, I think there's something going on with my connection. I do think I am losing some connection.
Right.
Like, it's never completely goes out, but it drops drastically.
Has it been raining around here? I haven't really noticed the fact that it's been raining for a goddamn month and hasn't stopped.
Yeah, it's been torrential downpour, and tonight we're supposed to get it again.
We're supposed to get it again. Again.
Tonight's supposed to be wicked.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Can you guys still get to work?
Yeah. It's not completely flooded yet. River Road. There's a reason they call it that.
Yeah, it kind of just turns into a river.
Turns into a river every rain season, yeah. So there you go.
And what's funny is that this should be drought season for us.
I know, it absolutely should. But no, it's pouring, because, I don't know.
So, I'm talking to the guy on the phone.
Yeah.
And it fucking decides to pull down my saves.
Oh, really? Wow, just decides.
Yeah.
He didn't work any magic.
Weeks of fucking with this thing.
Yeah.
Randomly just decides to pull my another save.
Wow.
But I got my 4 to 5 saves back, and I've been playing 4 to 5 like crazy and whatever.
I feel like this guy, like, hit a switch or something.
Like, feel like he did.
I feel like he's
feel
like
he did.
Oh, it seems like I did this.
But yeah, I need to call AT&T and see about getting my connection looked at, because I have noticed some irregularities since then.
Right,
sure. That don't normally happen, because if you remember, last year when we did our live stream for 24 hours, we were up for 24 hours straight, and it never hiccuped.
Never once. Hiccuped. Not one time.
So I definitely need that connection to be like that again when we go to do this thing again.
Absolutely.
So, second customer service experience I had was related to Nintendo.
Yes, you had to contact Nintendo Services. That is the dog banging your tail into the blinders, so...
I got a new 3DS XL. Yeah. So I get the system. I've been fucking around with that. I've been playing some Majora's Mask.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Sure.
So I, went to, download the demo for... like Pokemon Omega Ruby or something.
Nice.
Just kind of, maybe I'll try this Pokemon, see if that's kind of still what I'm looking for, that kind of thing.
Sure.
It said, like, you need to, recover your account. And I was like, okay, so awesome. I go to type in all my account details.
Mm-hmm.
That account is linked to a 3DS that I don't have anymore.
Oh.
And all of my, and I wasn't even worried about my purchases or anything, but all my purchases are flagged to that other console.
Hmm.
And I don't have that console anymore.
Interesting.
So, basically, what you have to do whenever you buy a new 3DS that and you can't do the transfer with the systems in person,
sure.
You call Nintendo and you say, "Hey, here's who I am. Here's my account information." They say, "Okay, how long has it been since you've had it? What games did you have on it?"
Right.
And basically, they just kind of use that as a check.
Yeah,
they're like, sure they what did. Games were on that account?
Right.
Luckily I could remember that I had, like, Legend of Zelda Link Between Worlds and all the Ambassador games and shit like that. And they were like, that's good enough.
Right.
Cool. And believe it or not, within 12 hours, they sent me an email. It's weird that you have to call somebody to do this, but okay. But then they sent me an email, like, 12 hours later. It was like, okay, just go type in your account credentials and all my games are back.
Wow. Huh. So it was actually a good experience with customer service there.
They answered me immediately.
Wow. That's amazing.
It was weird.
This is a twist. It's like, this is a Shyamalan twist right here.
Two good customer service.
That is insane. I was not expecting this at all when you had that, when you texted me that day. I thought you were holding back rage.
Well, it's kind of an arcane process where you have to call a human being.
Right, yeah.
Like you're summoning some kind of dark magic or something. to a human.
You're not talking to some recording.
But yeah, like, or going to a fucking website or something. But yeah, like, I got everything back and, using this 3DS and it's cool. Like, Majora's Mask, liking it more this time than I did last time.
Wow.
It helps that fucking 3DS version of that game looks great.
There you go.
It looks great.
Mm,
on that small screen, it looks really sharp. It feels good.
Interesting.
That N64 game being blown up on the Wii U up to my TV did not look great.
Did not look good, yeah. N64 era graphics, they do not hold up.
No. If you're still playing them on an old tube TV, they look fine.
Yeah,
they look fine. But this is... That 3DS port of that winning me over.
There you go. All right.
That's...
That's kind of how I was with Majora's Mask. First time I played it, I hated it. And then when I went and revisited it years later... I appreciated it more.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough.
I'm definitely enjoying my time with it quite a bit more than I would have anticipated.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, I mean, like, I haven't touched Batman again since the last time we did this, but I did buy Skylanders Trap Team.
Yes.
I played a bunch of fucking Trap Team. You should get some footage of fucking Trap Team.
All right.
That game's okay.
You trap people in that game, correct?
Yep, and you're a team.
And you're... That's the premise of that game. That's how that goes.
Hey, you trap guys in these crystals that you put on the in this little holder on the on the portal of power.
Yeah.
It's good. I'm cool. Enjoying it.
That's a different trap for different types of enemies, correct? Like,
yeah,
yeah. That's pretty cool.
There's like, well, yeah. like different traps will be able to pull in different guys, and you know, there's water based ones and light based ones and all kinds of other shit.
Right.
But yeah, it's cool. I continue to like Skylanders.
There you go.
Like, it's one of those things that, like, I know I'm way too old for it.
Yeah.
Well, there's something about it. I'm like, oh, it's pretty cool.
It's, you know, it's just that little thing that's like, oh, it touches to a small amount of my childlike humanity that I used to have before
I died inside.
Before the cynical world brought it crashing to the ground.
Before I turned into this hardened shell of a man.
I mean, it happens to all of us.
I'm really having a good time with it. Yeah, I haven't bought any other Trapmasters. Kind of wish I had a couple others.
Yeah.
Just because, just like in the old games, like basically regular-ass Skylanders don't mean shit anymore.
Right.
I've never put a regular Skylander on this portal.
Yeah.
It's just that Trapmaster. He's right. The only one I ever fucking use, because he's the only one I fucking have.
Right.
You can still use regular ones, but like all the gates in this game are Trapmaster gates.
Okay.
So it's like you need a water Trapmaster. You need a, you know, light Trapmaster.
There you go.
You need a earth Trapmaster. So like at first I was like, well, it's an earth element here, so I'll just put one of these earth guys on it. It doesn't work. Kind of a bummer. It's like, yeah, it's still fully compatible with all the old shit, but
right,
not really.
Yeah, you're not gonna be able to do the things in the game unless you have the new toy.
For the most part, though, I haven't done much of the shit in this one, but for the most part in the previous games, like having all the different character types, just here's a room with a bunch of stuff in it.
Sure.
It's not like here's more game, it's just more here's stuff.
Here's things.
Yeah, here's a hat. Here's, you know, a bunch of money. That kind of shit. But yeah, you know, I've leveled my dude up and I'm, you know, got some new abilities and shoot arrows that are made out of ice and shit. It's cool.
There you go.
Fucking Skylanders, man.
Yep.
Continues to amaze. That new one kind of looks awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen that new one.
I have not.
Boats and planes and cars and shit.
Oh, yes. Actually, I have. I saw a little bit of it when Nintendo was previewing their
Their
Amiibos.
And there is Amiibo support in there.
Yeah.
That it looks cool.
Yeah, very interesting.
I'm definitely interested to what they have to say. The cool thing about this one's this year's is that you can get it entirely digital because it's the same portal.
Oh, okay. So it's the same little portal thing, so you can just download a new one, and if you have a portal, then you're good.
Yeah, and then I'm sure what they'll probably start doing is, like, every other year you have to buy a portal kind of thing.
Right.
You know, because whenever you want to add new features, the old portal just doesn't work.
Right.
But, I mean, conceivably, there's stuff that they can do. I just don't know if Microsoft will let them or whatever else. Because, like, you can update the firmware on your controller for your Xbox One.
Oh, wow.
You fucking plug in the USB, and there are firmwares that go into your controller.
Really?
So, conceivably, that USB device that's the portal, you could conceivably be patching that thing. I just don't know if they can.
Right.
Or if they have any interest in doing that. Because, yeah, you can do it on the Xbox One, but you really couldn't do it on other platforms.
Huh.
But, I don't know. Whatever. That's what I've been playing.
That is intriguing. There you go. All right, that's what we've been playing today. Only one bit of news really to cover before we go into our topic of the day. Very sad news. Satoru Iwata passed away. What was it, yesterday?
Yeah, last night.
Yeah, last night. Passed away last night from a bile duct.
That's pancreatic cancer.
Yeah, pancreatic cancer, basically.
They haven't said it, but it's a bile duct obstruction.
Obstruction, yes.
Like, my dad died of pancreatic cancer, and, you know, it's kind of what killed Steve Jobs and all sorts of shit, and, you know, what you do is, in the works near the pancreas, you end up getting, you know, tumors in there, and it can, it obstructs the bile duct, and that's one of the ways that one of two things that can be bad is if your bile duct is obstructed, you got a bad gallbladder.
Right.
Your skin will start turning yellow, like you have jaundice or something.
Jaundice, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's either your gallbladder or it's pancreatic cancer. It's like one of the two things it almost always is.
Yeah.
And my dad died of that, so it's kind of crazy to hear, like, you know, Patrick Swayze and Satoru Iwata and Steve Jobs all died from the same thing as my dad. I was like, my dad was a pretty cool guy. He died of the most fashionable disease.
The most fashionable possible disease. Passed away at 55. It is
same age as my dad.
Yeah, it's crazy. The parallels with your father were kind of weird.
Yeah, weird.
It really hit everybody pretty out of nowhere. I don't
remember anybody really talking about his health that much, but apparently it was.
He lost a lot of weight, yeah.
He lost a lot of weight. The health.
They acknowledged it, I guess, about 6 months ago that, like, yes, right. He hasn't been on a lot of Nintendo Directs or he hasn't been making public appearances.
He's
had some health issues. Yeah. And
They like to keep it kind of quiet in Japan when that stuff kind of happens. And
yeah, they have an honor culture.
Yeah, they were probably more open about it than most companies, yeah. But I just never really heard about it because I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
But there were a few Twitter moments where he actually went under surgery for the same thing not too long ago.
He's had a couple of different surgeries.
Yeah.
When I saw him at that E3 press conference, he didn't look great.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you go back and look at, from 3 years ago when they first started doing Nintendo Directs, the one where, he's holding up the bundle of bananas.
Right, yeah.
And you look at, that jubilant, young-looking guy, and then you look at him from, 3 months ago. Yeah. It aged him.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It affected him.
Yeah.
Grand loss, say what I will about Nintendo, that they are the most important name to ever grace video games. Mm-hmm. And a lot of their success, a lot of their youthful exuberance
mm-hmm.
is tied directly to him.
Yeah.
And yeah. Nobody could say the word Nintendo like him.
Yeah.
Nintendo.
Nintendo.
I love the way he said fucking Nintendo.
We at Nintendo. He does.
I fucking love the way he says Nintendo.
It is kind of a childlike exuberance that would come out.
Yeah, he's just he was the happiest guy.
He was.
And I'm sure when they came up with that dumb idea to do Muppets... Yeah. He was like, this is a beautiful idea.
He probably loved it.
Me and Reggie and Shigeru will have good time.
He probably did love it. About the only person that would really match that would be Miyamoto, I think. Yeah. I mean,
they're the elder statesmen. And granted, they're not even that old,
yeah.
But they're the elder statesmen of video games.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of people saying that Miyamoto is going to get the CEO crown now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think that's a very good idea. Not because I don't think he would do a good job, but I want that man having creative input on everything.
Agreed.
And not talking to fucking investors.
I agree. That's kind of what I thought. I'm pretty sure it's probably not something he... To me, it feels like something he wouldn't want to do. I feel like he wants to be have creative input.
Well, but he's been grooming people. I mean, the new Zelda team lead, what is it, Aonuma?
Aonuma, yeah. He exemplifies everything of what Zelda used to be, and loves it.
And he gets the message. And, I mean, if he's evangelized to enough guys at that company... To have that be a thing, I definitely think that it may be a good step in the in a positive direction.
Yeah,
and it will having him in a CEO role. If there are guys out there to have the creative influence on video games,
yeah,
having him be in a position of potential power would be very important for them now that they've started branching into mobile markets. Because you need somebody there to go, hey. Fuck you, that's not the Nintendo way.
Yeah.
That's not how we do things.
Right.
And, that's one of the things that I think is going to be most important in this transition to mobile markets for them is maintaining their barriers between what is Nintendo, what is Nintendo not, how do we make Nintendo quality experiences on other devices that, A, don't cannibalize
mm-hmm.
our existing platforms, and bring more people into the fold, because if there's one thing that Nintendo needs right now, it's more people in the fucking fold. They don't have them.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no other way to describe the Wii U other than complete dismal failure. They've sold less than 10 million units worldwide.
Yeah.
And it's been out for three years.
And they're not...
And the PlayStation 3 has sold twice that in half the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
that's a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah, it was the Wii U was a massive misstep in a lot of ways, even from a marketing standpoint. To
the name,
the name alone was just the name alone was confusing for most people, because here's the thing: you latched on to a casual gaming demographic when you had the Wii. Which is a fantastic thing, which is why the Wii was basically printing money for them. But the Wii U came along, and it just sounded like it was an accessory to the Wii. And people who don't pay attention to that sort of thing have no idea this is a completely new console.
The,
and you barely spun it as a new console.
The great thing was, you know, Jimmy Fallon is a guy who's very hip to video game stuff, very into the industry,
yes.
loves this shit. And when they took that thing on Jimmy Fallon's show and he didn't know that it was not just a controller,
yeah.
you have a messaging
yeah.
problem.
Yeah. Did that happen on his show?
Yes.
Are you serious?
He's like, oh, I've got a Wii at home. I'll get one of these.
Oh, wow.
And they were like, no, this is a whole new system. And, well, and it doesn't really help that every time they showed it before the system came out, they showed it in white.
Yeah, in white,
and the
yeah.
box looks very... Granted, it's way longer. When you see it in person, they look nothing alike.
Sure.
But in fucking pictures, it's white, and it looks just goddamn like it.
Yeah, yeah. It was such a misstep marketing-wise with all of that. It didn't look like a new system. It looked like an accessory to an existing system. In fact, people were kind of like, oh, wow, that's pretty bold of them to not put out a new system and everything. I remember that being like the first thing when it was being said, that this was going to be like that it was going to be like that extra like controller for your Wii and a mobile device that you could take wherever. And everybody's like, yeah, that's a pretty good idea. And then it just came out that it was a completely new thing. And it's very... very interesting. Very bizarre turn from that.
Well, and what's funny is that, you know, the Wii Wand, the Wii Remote...
The Wii Remote.
...was originally a GameCube accessory.
Oh, really? Yeah, that makes sense.
And, but that system had been doing so poorly for so long, they
right.
said, we need to launch a new platform for
right,
this.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's just, you know, not to delve too far into that, but like, yeah, like, you know, the Satoru Iwata's passing is, a tragic loss for a company that is in very murky waters.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, they're scrappy, and if there's one thing that Nintendo does really well, it's surprise you. At the end of the GameCube's lifespan, that was a company I thought was going out of business. If it wasn't for the Game Boy Advance, I was convinced they were going out of business.
Right, yeah.
And then they back-to-back fucking bangers with the DS and the Wii.
The Wii, yeah.
And, you know, even the 3DS launched like a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But it's grown to
it
a
grew.
Really respectable base.
That's what I thought was going to happen with the Wii U as well, because, like, the 3DS just was kind of like a thing, like, whatever. And it's like... The DS as well, like it was just kind of like, okay, it's got two screens, whatever. And then developers got a hold of it and were like, oh, we can do this with that. And it became this thing that, like, people started having a playground on it. And I assume people would do that with the Wii U as well, but it never caught on.
There weren't enough units out there for people to devote money. Plus, it was near the end of a console's life cycle. If that thing had come out like 2 years earlier,
right?
And they could have had more time to build tools to make porting third-party games to it easier.
Yeah,
I think you would still be seeing games on it right now from third parties. Granted, that's not necessarily a Nintendo solution or anything, or
sure.
you know, a Nintendo difference, but. Without those third-party games on there, that thing just looks barren.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, it's not even on our wall anymore at our store.
Yeah.
It's on a rack.
It's on a rack. Wow. See, you're right. I mean, the thing is, like, Nintendo, if there's one thing they like to do, it's experiment. They love to experiment, do new things, and sometimes it misses the bar completely. But then they kind of come back, usually, with a crazy,
and we'll see.
Crazy mad scientist kind of.
The book. NX may be the coolest thing you've ever seen.
Yeah, right.
We're just not sure
yeah.
yet.
Yeah, we just have no idea.
Let's not beat that dead horse.
No, let's not.
Well, sorry, Satoru.
Ow, jeez, come on, no. But let's move on to our topic of the day, which is what we played today, and we didn't say this at the beginning, which is kind of awesome. Play another id game from id Software.
We did.
Yeah.
I woke up this morning, and one of the first things I thought of before I was getting in the shower was the song from Doom 3.
That opening music from Doom 3.
Oh, God damn it. I love that song.
There you go.
I remember when I saw the first trailer for Doom 3.
Right.
And, you know, it's fucking, you know, the dusty Mars fucking landscape, and you start hearing that boom, doo doo burn on, burn on, burn on, burn on, burn on. Like, yeah! We need to totally put that music at the beginning of this podcast. Yeah, I love it. What did you think of Doom 3? What did you know about Doom 3 going into this?
Going into this, I kind of knew it was sort of a retread of Doom 1. But I knew more about Doom 1, the fact that, like, you're on Mars, they open up a portal to hell, you gotta fight Kako demons, etc., etc. So that's the basis of all Doom games, am I correct when I say that?
Imps and Kako demons and pinkies.
And the devil.
Circle strafe his ass.
I knew that this was a big game. I remember the announcement for this game for the Xbox because it was such a huge friggin' deal that a new Doom game was coming out, obviously.
And it was coming to a console.
It wasn't just PC, it was coming to a console. Xbox original game. Was it only on the Xbox? It
only launched? Only on original
only
Xbox.
Only on original Xbox, yeah.
Later on, the Doom BFG edition was launched on the 360, the PS3, and the PC.
Sure, sure.
But that was many, many years later.
Yes, yes.
Almost like a 10-year anniversary. I think it was like 2012?
Yeah, I remember.
And the game originally came out in 2004.
Mm-hmm, yes. I remember this game being well known for how terrifying it was.
Scary shit.
Scary, scary game. The lighting is very, it's a very dark game, specifically and deliberately. You don't see what's in front of you unless you have a flashlight out through a majority of it. You had to put your flashlight down in order to shoot. I did not know that prior to getting to playing this. That's kind of terrifying, just the fact that you had to put it down, then you don't see what's in front of you, and then you have to fire your gun, and what's really awesome is the muzzle flare will show, like, what's happening. It's just kind of great. I remember this game looking beautiful back in the day. Still looks really good.
Yeah, we weren't even playing, like, a high-powered PC version of it. I just happened to grab the Doom 3 for the original Xbox that I had sitting on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
PC version looks a lot better than that. But the original Xbox port of that was actually quite... a valiant effort for the time.
Yes.
It has the two-player co-op, which you cannot play anymore.
Yeah.
I guess unless... you can still system link it. But yeah, like, all the Xbox Live stuff for the original Xbox was taken offline 7 or 8 years ago now.
Sure.
Kind of sad. But yeah, the co-op stuff was good. Do you want me to do my thing?
Do your thing, man. Let's...
Doom 3 is one of my favorite games of all time, and here's why, motherfuckers! All right. Doom 3 is one of the most divisive games.
Listen up, Chodes. It's time for Hoss's favorite games of all time.
Listen up here, fucking butt boners. Doom 3 is one of the fucking best games of all time. It's a very divisive game. People love it or people hate it. That's it. That's all there is.
Right.
And one of the things about it that a lot of people don't like is that it's definitely a technology first, game second approach.
Yeah.
For the time, this came out in the summer of 2004, so it was a good 5 months or so before we saw a little game called Half-Life 2. And it was building this huge, like, fucking bum fight between... the barren PC landscape at that point, because that was during the height of piracy. Almost nobody was launching games on PC anymore. I mean, outside of Blizzard and id and Valve, most people, and well, I guess Crytek to a certain degree, because, you know, this is around the time of Far Cry, the original game.
Okay.
So this is around the time when, I guess Call of Duty, the original stuff, but I mean, like, for the most part, like, it got like 4 or 5 games a year as opposed to everything!
Right, yeah, yeah.
Because nobody wanted to release shit into a piracy-laced landscape.
Sure.
So there was just this huge uprising of controversy, like, what's gonna be better? Is it gonna be, you know, it's kinda like when Half-Life 1 launched. It was like, are you gonna get Sin or are you gonna get Half-Life? Most people don't talk about Sin anymore.
Nobody talks about Sin anymore.
Yeah, so demo level was really good though. Do you remember that demo?
No, I don't.
Demo for Sin. Let's find the demo for Sin and play that one day. That was a fucking good ass demo. All
right.
Sort of like that first level in Duke Nukem 3D.
Okay.
And then the rest of the game kind of sucks shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The rest of that game's terrible.
Yeah, it's
that awful. First level with all that interactive shit, awesome. Like, there's almost none of that later on in that game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Suck it down.
Suck it down.
But yeah, so Doom 3 came out the first game to use what they referred to as id Tech 4.
Yes.
At that time. This is arguably the turning point that led to Bethesda eventually buying id.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because of this. Mm-hmm. Up until this point, the Quake 3 engine, the Quake engine, the Doom engine, like, all of these engine technologies that they had built, they had licensed them out, and they sold like wildfire.
Right.
All these other companies were using their technology to make their games.
Wow.
Well, when they built the technology for Doom 3, it was all about lighting, it was all about shaders, it was all about... And it wasn't necessarily about physics or, about high poly models. It was more about texture quality and fucking lighting and shaders.
Right.
And that game, even today...
Yeah.
Lighting and shaders look great.
Yeah.
The models look...
Yes.
Primitive.
Yeah, the models look primitive. But everything about the lighting in that game...
The environments look great.
It's appropriately terrifying. It's gritty. It's dark.
And
the light feels natural wherever it is. Very interesting. Yeah.
So they built a very specific piece of technology for that fourth iteration of id Tech.
Yes.
And what they built was something that was kind of in the same way that Gears of War 3's Unreal Engine was an engine built to make that game... And then they just gave you tools to make whatever kind of game you wanted to make.
Right.
That's why at the beginning of the 360 generation, almost everything was a behind-the-back cover-based something.
Yeah.
Because all those tools came with the Unreal Engine. So when you bought it, it's like, why the fuck wouldn't you use them?
Right.
That's why like a lot of explosions looked the same in early 360 games.
Sure.
Because those are just what came in the box.
Yeah, okay.
You know, it's kind of like how every Nintendo first-party game in the Nintendo 64 generation had those same orange circular explosions because somebody built that for Star Fox and it fit in everything.
It's very true. Yep.
That's just a set of tools.
Yep,
well, they made a very specific set of tools with this.
Yeah.
And the problem was nobody else had the money to devote resources to make games like that.
Right.
So everybody basically, for the most part, jumped ship from id Tech licensing to a little engine called the Unreal Engine 2.
Oh, yeah.
Which is where most of the stuff of that, you know, original Xbox generation, that era, like a lot of the best-looking third-party stuff was built on Unreal Engine 2.
Yeah.
Splinter Cell.
Yeah.
That's Unreal Engine 2.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why those games look so good. All those Ghost Recon games, all those Rainbow Six games are all built on the Unreal Engine.
Yeah.
So even before the Unreal Engine 3 hit, which became such a huge success...
Yeah.
Quietly, almost everybody had already been using Unreal Engine.
Yeah.
So the transition to 3 was much easier for a lot of teams.
Yeah, yeah.
So id Tech 4, very complicated to program for, very specific.
Yeah.
And it didn't license out well. There are other games that are built using that set of technologies, but there's not many. Like, you got Quake 4 that was made by Raven. That is the, to the best of my knowledge, the only mainline Quake game not developed by id.
Okay.
Not a very good game.
Yeah.
Uses the technology really well, though. It's, especially if you're running that on a high-powered PC, well, moderately powered PC, that game looks fantastic.
Yeah.
But it's just, it wasn't a Quake game.
Yeah.
It didn't feel right.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of that weird, quote-unquote, feel.
Yeah.
That's way off about that game. There's something, because Doom is built as a very slow game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is a game engine that's optimized to run at 30 frames.
Right.
That is a game engine that's optimized to run at very high spec at low frames with, low response time. It's designed for atmosphere.
Right.
And that game engine... today still looks very good, and it's very complicated to program for. The lighting model that he built in there, it's all reactive lighting that he built, John Carmack, as in the pronoun there,
right.
That he built himself.
Okay.
John Carmack, who's now gone over to Oculus.
Okay, yeah.
He built all of this engine itself, so the really impressive thing about this is that it's not a lighting engine in the term that we think of it today. It's like, well, here's your world lighting. He built that in a day when that didn't exist.
Yeah, right.
So if you're walking up a railing and you look around and the light catches the railing and shoots a shadow at the wall, it moves in real time as it should.
Yeah.
So that it's shooting through that, and you can even have transparencies through there So you'll see that, like, oh, you're shooting through, like, a red piece of glass that's translucent. So it's affecting the light flow. It drapes.
You'll have penumbras of light going across each other, yeah.
You'll have things getting draped in light in specific ways. And that was all done by him in-house.
Yeah.
You know, if there's one thing that John Carmack can fucking do, it's build technology.
Right.
Now, this is after the departure of John Romero.
Now, would you say, real quick... would you say that the Quake one didn't work because the Quake engine is built for fast-paced action? Is that why?
Yeah, it's just the feel was wrong. Like, yeah. Quake 3, if you go sit down with Quake 3 Arena right now, it's the fastest game in the world.
Right, yeah.
If you haven't played a game like that in a really long time, you sit down and you're like, I don't know what's going on!
I'm moving so fast!
Jump pads!
I'm jumping so much faster! Yeah, all right, that makes sense. Yeah, that's why it doesn't have the feel then, yeah.
And this is, you know, around this time, I don't know if Level Lord had left yet, but a lot of their world designers had started to, of that original Doom Wolfenstein team, had started to depart. This is obviously after the departure of John Romero.
Yes.
Now, I will say one thing about John Romero. He's the only person that could ever write a meaningful story in that universe, even with as light as the story elements are in something like Wolfenstein 3D or Doom. There was a direction.
Right.
This very much feels like a game that is tools for tools' sake.
Right, yeah.
This is an object. It's not a living thing.
Yes.
It's a more sterile game at the emotional level.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, you know, so I'll kind of give you the lowdown of, you know, here's the story. You're Doom Guy.
Yeah.
Space Marine number one.
Yeah.
You arrive on Mars. You arrive with a scientist. You arrive with a man named Sarge. You guys are fucking Space Marines.
Yep.
Spoilers, Sarge is evil.
Yeah.
As soon as you get there...
If you didn't see The Rock's movie...
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, The Rock was Sarge.
Yeah, yeah. Carl Urban's a good guy. Rock's the bad guy. That's how that works.
Did The Rock turn into a tank monster?
He turned into a big tank monster at the end.
That's from this.
Yeah.
That movie, if you've seen the aesthetic of that movie, that's this game.
Yeah.
They directly looked at, obviously, production stills and pre-release gameplay and made that movie to look like this game.
Yes, absolutely.
These were contemporaries of one another.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it or not, never seen the movie all the way through.
Yeah. Have you not seen the scene where they go first person?
I've seen that.
Okay.
I've seen like the first 20 minutes and that.
Yeah. That's all you need to see to go, that's enough. But
the first person scene wasn't bad, but it was definitely a trick.
It was definitely a trick. You know what's interesting about that movie? The Rock is great in that movie, I will say.
He's good in everything.
He's good in everything he does, but like he really like was like, oh yeah, he can play a bad guy. Like, I can't, which, obviously, we knew that because we watched wrestling. But it's like, in a movie, he can be a non-charismatic dickhole that nobody likes. So, I thought that was interesting. So,
You know what's a good Rock role?
What's that?
Fucking Walking Tall.
Yes, Walking Tall.
That movie's incredible.
That movie's great. That's my favorite Rock movie, period. Walking Tall.
Fast Five's really good, though.
Fast Five, I've not seen Fast Five.
Oh, man, that's a good one.
I need to watch the Fast movies. We need to, like, sit down and have, like, a viewing of the Fast movies and a discussion of each of the Fast movies afterwards.
We can start doing that as, like, a bi-weekly segment.
As a bi-weekly segment? I'll be okay with that.
And for the last 15 minutes of this podcast, what did you think of Too Fast, Too Furious? It's kind of a piece of shit. It's sort of the worst one. That's kind of all you really have to say about Too Fast and Furious.
There you go.
It's kind of the worst one.
It's kind of the worst one. That's about it. Yeah, it's the bad sequel, the sequel they had to get out.
The first one's so terrible in an awesome way.
Yeah, that's the feeling I get from the first one. And then the second one is just like that, well, that was successful, let's crank out another
one. Hey, bro, do you remember when we used to do it in the day, bro? Like, we used to do it sometimes when we did it in the day, bro?
Let's do it again, bro. Let's go back, bro.
Fuck.
Anyway.
The most forced Paul Walker performance I've ever seen.
Anyway, Doom 3.
Yeah.
Talking
about Fast and Furious all day.
Yeah, the aesthetic was pulled from... The movie was pulled from that.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. So, you know, the game is basically you getting dumped there. As soon as you get there, you have to pick up your armor, you have to pick up your gun. You walk through a lot of the facility before anything happens. And you have to go to the security room and go pick somebody up.
Yeah.
Get to that room, and the lights go out, and a demon comes through, turns him into a zombie, imps start showing up, hell starts basically spilling into this facility.
Yes.
The kinda premise...
terrifyingly, too.
Yeah.
The lack of graphics kind of make it a little bit more terrifying to me. It's, I don't know, it's weird. That floating skull was just was just awkward enough for me to be like, that's... Ugh. Yeah. It's very bizarre.
And there's really good scenes where you'll be, like, you know, climbing stairs and an imp will shoot out of the stairs and bust one open and claw at you and shit. It's the game actually invented something that has become sort of a joke, but it used what they called monster closets. It's a piece of the geometry that exists solely to hold a monster in it.
Okay, yeah.
So it's like a closet built for a monster.
Built for a monster to go inside of it.
And there are all these, like, switchback little doorways and shit. Like, and if you've never played the game, maybe stop listening because I'm going to expose a lot of this game.
Sure.
But the structure is designed in a very specific way to make a very specific experience.
Sure.
But, you know, there are, you know, whenever in the game when you're playing it, you have to pull up your flashlight, which if you're playing the 360 version, well, the Xbox original version on the 360, left bumper pulls up your flashlight and then tap it again to pull up your gun. You know, there are long stretches of this game from time to time where you're in the darkness and all you see is the light of an imp that you know to shoot. And that's it.
Wow.
And
that's terrifying.
Point at the glow.
Point at the glowy parts.
That's it. You know, this game, you know, you explore an entire sprawling facility.
Yeah.
You know, the only drawbacks that I can really get, especially on the original Xbox version, is that the load times are a little brutal. Mm-hmm. It was definitely pushing that original Xbox hardware as far as it could.
Yeah, that's gonna happen. You know, it's like, what are you gonna do?
The PC version now, I mean, the PC version when it came out suffered from really long load times. Most PC games in those days suffered from really long load times, but now the systems are so powerful that the game will load basically instantly.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I love Doom 3. It's something where as hell continues to spill into this facility from all these artifacts they had found from tunneling through and unearthing these objects from under the Mars surface. You know, there are bits where, like, you'll come back to areas and it's way more destroyed than it was before. You know, words and blood written on the wall. This is a game that I've played through many, many, many times.
Yeah.
When it came out, I didn't have a lot to do. It was a summer and I just played the living fuck out of this game over and over and over again. And I think no matter what platform you play it on, like, you owe it to yourself to play Doom 3. Do not play Doom BFG for the consoles.
Mm.
It's a bad port.
Interesting.
The lighting isn't even right.
Oh, wow. That's kind of the whole crux.
Because you can't port it because it was built by fucking John Carmack.
It wasn't built by him.
It doesn't work right. So a lot of the like the light draping doesn't work.
Doesn't work at all. Yeah, just kills the whole experience then.
Exactly. But you know, the port for the 360 version was done by Vicarious Visions.
Yeah.
Which was an Activision studio that did a lot of port work for them.
Right.
They became very popular. Like, they made those Tony Hawk 2 and Tony Hawk 3 Game Boy Advance games that were super lauded.
Mm-hmm.
They made those. They also ported and did a lot of work on Guitar Hero games.
Yeah.
They were a house that they always went to if they needed something ported or they needed something, like a version of something done for another age of hardware, they would go to Vicarious Visions. I don't believe that developer is still around. It's kind of like one of those developers like Beenox and Luxaflux that Activision had sitting around that when the culling started, when they started cutting through their studios and laying people off, like Raven and stuff like that, I think that's one of those studios that kind of went by the wayside, which would be a shame because, you know, I think they did a lot of great work, but you know, Activision has decided to move away from making a ton of games and hoping that some hit to making 4 games and needing them to all hit.
Right.
I mean, if you remember, like, back in the day, like, and that, Activision had an exclusive agreement with id to publish all their games and also make, certain games. Like, you know, that's how Quake 4 get made, Return to Castle Wolfenstein, you know, there are, the Wolfenstein, that was for the 360, and PS3 era, that was an Activision developed game that was made by Raven. There's a lot of work that, Ulterior franchise games that were of id franchises, but id's only made like 7 games ever.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I mean, so, unless you want to go back to like Commander Keen, but like, let's start at Wolfenstein. It's Wolfenstein 3D.
Right.
They made Doom. They made Doom 2. Mm-hmm. They made Quake, Quake 2, Quake 3.
Boom, boom, boom.
I'm 99.9% sure that they didn't make Return to Castle Wolfenstein, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
99% sure that they didn't make that one.
Right.
And then after that, you have Doom, and then Rage.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, at a certain point, they just started making games, like, every 5 years or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, we got a new Doom game coming out here, hopefully within the next year.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm pretty fucking excited about it, man. I love Doom. I love Doom 3. Yeah. I love Doom 1.
You like id. You like id a lot.
I fucking love... If you were a dude who had a PC in the 90s...
Yeah, right?
You fucking sucked their cock. They were the best.
Id.
They were the best. Like, yeah, all these fucking assholes were walking around going like, oh, yeah, GoldenEye. Dude, I got fucking Quake Rocket Arena. We're playing this shit on the fucking internet.
Oh, man.
Yeah, fucking Quake.
Yeah.
That's a game. Quake 2... Not quite as good a game. The online was better, but as a game, it's probably not.
Good.
Nine Inch Nails did the soundtrack for Quake.
That's true. Nine Inch Nails.
Bitching.
That is pretty bitching. Trent Reznor did the did that sucker.
So, yeah, I love it. I even think Rage is a good game. I don't give a shit what anybody says. Fuck those people. Rage is pretty good.
Not familiar with Rage.
So. That was that open world game that they made a few years back.
It's not ringing a bell.
Right.
Yeah.
Trucks in the Wasteland kind of look like Mad Max.
Oh, yes. Okay. I remember that now. Yes. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. So
that
it's like one part like weird Mad Max game, one part corridor shooter.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. There you go. Yeah. I remember that now. Yeah. It's very interesting because, as you said, they've only made, you know, a handful of games as a company
ever.
Themselves.
And they've been around for 25 years.
But they have made so many games subsequently with the technology that they've built themselves.
And so many great games have been built with that tech.
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
stuff that they haven't made.
I mean, I remember everybody talking about the Unreal Engine. Like, everybody's been talking about that for years. Decades, people have been talking about the Unreal Engine. Just, like, for, you know, Unreal 2, then the 3 hit, that came
4 is out now.
4 is out now, yeah. 4 is the one that's out now. And it's just, like, everybody builds off those games and off of those engines. And it's pretty much always like, oh, cool, they're using Unreal. Whenever someone says, yeah, it's being built on Unreal. Oh, cool, it's being built on Unreal? Awesome. And they'll, you know, it's always a positive thing whenever someone says it.
It's, you know, the effect of Doom 3, the popularity of the Unreal Engine 2, the lack of popularity of that, it definitely was kind of one of those things that, because id had always been an independent entity. Mm-hmm. They had a publishing agreement with Activision, but they were not owned in any way, shape, or form by Activision.
Right.
They were privately held.
Right.
And the situation that they were put in with Doom 4 and Doom 3 and no licensing being had for that because nobody wanted it, and some of the lackluster performance of their games, they were in a rough spot.
Yeah.
And, you know, other than Prey.
Yeah.
I can't think of another fucking Doom 3 engine licensed game.
Right.
And yeah, Prey didn't really burn up the fucking charts.
No.
But, you know, it's definitely something where they because of that, they didn't have that extra income coming in. They were notoriously very difficult to work with. If you wanted John Carmack to come out for a day, they were charging like $1 million.
Wow.
Jeez. You had already paid to license this engine, and now you want Carmack to show up for a day.
Yeah.
It's like $1 million. Because, and it wasn't because they were trying to gouge people, it was John Carmack doesn't fucking have time for this, but if you absolutely need him, he'll come out.
Yeah, yeah.
And, the man's a fucking genius.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
look up anything that he, yeah.
Period.
Yeah, it's
like, you know, he's one of the most visionary, technology designers, I've ever seen. But, you know, it's something where Doom 3 is kind of a victim of the fact that without Romero there, with Carmack being the one and only true lead on that project,
yeah,
a lot of the things that people don't like about that game are things that I can look at and say, I understand your concerns.
Yeah.
They do not bother me.
Right.
But, like, you know, I think a lot of the character designs, like, you know, the pinkies and stuff, they just, they look weird and, like, almost kind of steampunky in ways.
Right.
I just feel like if there were other creative influences there that were more than just technology designers and more game designers,
right,
I feel like they could have come off better because they had great tools. I just felt like they didn't necessarily have as much creative input as they had in previous games.
Right.
And kind of one of the biggest issues that you run into with Doom 3, specifically because it's kind of retelling the story of Doom 1 to a good degree,
right,
is that you can't make too much new stuff because it still has to do what it did before.
Yes.
So you become beholden.
Yes.
It's kind of why I really like the way that Mortal Kombat rebooted itself.
Yes.
Because they did it in a time fashion,
mm-hmm,
so that if anything was different, it doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter.
This is a different continuum.
Yeah, a completely different continuum. They pulled the
Star Trek did this.
If they pulled the Star Trek J.J. Abrams reboot,
yeah,
which was interesting. And it worked. It worked absolutely. When NetherRealm decided, like, hey, we're just going to make our own deal with it and, you know, retell this in a way that makes sense for everybody to understand why it's retold this way. And it worked. So, you know, now they can kill off whoever they want and bring them back or whatever. They don't care. So, how many people have been killed off so far? They killed off Striker, Liu Kang, Kung, everybody's dead in that series.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Quan Chi is still alive for some reason. Fuck him.
Yeah, Quan Chi sucks.
Have they killed Baraicho yet?
Huh? Who's that? Baraka?
Baraicho.
Baraicho.
He's from
Baraicho, yes. Baraicho. He's probably dead. He drank himself to death, I'm pretty sure.
Gotta be.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, you know, that you know, their design aesthetic and their the nature of this game, it just kind of felt like it was chained to a legacy of the past.
Sure, sure.
Which is good, because you occasionally like a warm hug from an old friend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It sucks if you're just, like, kind of, you know, you're beholden to the meta and you can't get out of it, you know? But if it's taken in a place of, like, oh, this is nostalgic, not retreading boredom, yeah, so it's fine, so... I feel like it hit that right spot because it introduced a lot of new things, obviously.
When it came out, even if that was only for about 5 or 6 months or whatever,
yeah,
it's the best looking game in the world.
Yeah.
Say what you want, like,
what was the next best game you
Half-Life.
Half-Life, oh yeah, Half-Life, duh. I didn't think about that. Yeah, Half-Life game.
and I'll argue that when Half-Life 2 shipped,
yeah,
I feel like it had better character models. It obviously had the physics stuff that was really cool,
mm-hmm,
but from a raw technology perspective, I just think tool for tool,
mm-hmm,
I thought Doom looked cooler.
Yeah,
whether it was better or whatever.
Yeah,
I just thought that lighting was.
It looked.
I'd never seen anything like that.
Right. Yeah.
And
well, yeah, I mean, there are certain aspects of, you know, when a game takes its art design or takes its technology and focuses it on an art design itself, it holds up better. Ocarina of Time, for its time, was beautiful looking. It doesn't look beautiful anymore. You know what still does? Wind Waker. Wind Waker to this day still looks beautiful if you go back and play that original one.
Yeah.
Because it had an aesthetic about it that kind of transcended the time in which it was being used. So, yeah, I agree. I agree completely.
That's kind of all I have to say about Doom 3. Like, I said at the outset of this that I was going to tell you why that was one of the greatest games of all time, and here's why.
Yeah.
That's why.
That's why. All that. Just go back and listen if you didn't hear
just
it.
Just do it again.
Just go back. Go back and don't listen to this podcast twice.
Do it.
I don't think we should ever do
it.
That.
Fuck
no.
It.
Yeah, fuck it. Do it again. Listen to this 3 times. Download it 3 times.
Go back and listen to that Red Faction episode. You know that Red Faction episode? It's probably my favorite episode.
That was a good episode. I like the Red Faction one. I want to take a portion of that, put up on YouTube or something. And I want to take clips of this, put them up on YouTube, make little stories out of them, and then say, go listen to the whole
thing. Little animatics.
Little animatics with it. Yeah, yeah. I'll do that. That should be fun. That should be fun. Yeah. More stuff for the site. Yay. That's it for this episode, though. I think we covered this one pretty well.
Let's go get some chicken wings.
Let's get some chicken wings. Let's get some chicken wings and then discuss what we're going to do next week. What do you want to do next week?
Viva Pinata.
You want to do Viva Pinata? We can do Viva Pinata. We're not. Whatever we say here is not what we're going to review.
I really want to play Viva Pinata.
We can play Viva Pinata, but it just never.
I've been playing Trouble in Paradise on my Xbox One in backwards compatibility mode.
That's pretty all right. There you go. Cool. All right then. That's going to do it.
Until next time.
Until next time, fellas. We'll see you then.